for your host is the world's outstanding entertainer, Al Jolson, with an all-star bill of famous guest stars. We take you now to Shell Chateau, where you'll be greeted by Al Jolson.
Good evening, friends. Here's a joke of the end. There everyone of them. What do you mean, friends? Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I know. Good evening, friends. Here's that plum. One time that plum. Monsieur Ferry. One sad Ferry. I know you all I do. Good evening, friends. Left the chair and turned the light down low. You and I'll tell the toe. Good evening, friends. We're on the air just once a week, you know. Each week a friend. So, tell you, my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, and all the fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot be you, I almost feel I do. Good evening.
Thank you, folks, thank you. And once again, I welcome you to Shell Chateau, where each Saturday night we present a superb social show consisting of the brightest stars from all branches of the entertainment world. Listen. I'm going to tell you who we have tonight. For music, we have Dixie Young and his orchestra. And when Dixie plays, people listen with their mouths wide open. How else would they yawn? Oh, you didn't get it right away. For song, we have a little lady, Miss Alice Dawn. And what a sweet singer of song she is. The other day, I met Miss Dawn at a charity bazaar, and she was selling scissors for orphan babies.
Very sweet of her, too.
She was selling these scissors for 25 cents, 50 cents, and a dollar each. Well, I said to her, I said, Miss Dawn, what is the difference? You charge 25 cents, you charge 50 cents, and you charge a dollar for a kid. What's the difference? She said, well, for a 25 cent kid, you do all the work. For a 50 cent kid, you do half the work. And for a dollar, dear brother, all you do is hold on. And for drama tonight, we will present a scene from Elizabeth the Queen. For novelty, we have Mr. Sam Coslow, a man who has written as many hit songs in the past 10 years as any of the great songwriters. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I just wrote a song, too. It's dedicated the Major Bowes, entitled, Hail, Hail, the Guns Are Here. Hey, wait a minute, Victor. I was only kidding. For comedy, we have Mr. Irving Cobb, one of the world's leading humorists. And what stories he tells. And the minute that my dad heard that Irving S. Cobb was coming to Shell Chateau, you couldn't hold him. He insisted on giving a party for Mr. Cobb. And with a reason for it, too. You see, my father's from the South also. South Los Angeles, Temple Street. Well, my dad called me up and he said, son, I'm giving a party for my pal Irving. And a party like this, you never saw in your life. I'm going to have everybody. Of course, I can't tell a joke on account of the dialect, but I'll try. My father said, I'm going to have everybody there. All the big people from the motion pictures and the stage. I'm going to have Jake Warner, Eddie Jessel, Georgie Trenter, Jimmy Jenner, Daryl Sheehan, Kay Powell, Dick Francis, Ruby Blondell. You see, he says, I know everybody. He says, now listen, son. I'm going to invite over 100 people. So we'll need about 300 sandwiches. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go to the Reese Hotel and tell them to make you up six different kind of sandwiches. I said, Pop, are you crazy? Do you realize what they'll charge for 300 sandwiches at the Ritz? He said, who's asking you? Soon as I tell you, go to the Ritz. Tell them to make you up six different kind of sandwiches. Then go to Goldstein's delicatessen store and have copies made.
That's my father all over.
Well, since this is a request week, ladies and gentlemen, my opening song is naturally a request number. And really, I'm happy to sing the song because, well, there's quite a little sentiment attached to it as far as I'm concerned. It happens to be one of the first songs I ever wrote.
I hope you'll remember it.
Avalon.
Across the sea where lying ships lay. And as the night is falling, I find that I'm recalling that beautiful all-enthralling day. I found my love in Avalon. She died the day when I left my love in Avalon, as I sail away. I dream of her in Avalon, from a dark till a dark. Oh, I think of Avalon, to Avalon. My love in Avalon, she died the day, and I left my love in Avalon, and I sailed away. I dream of what in Avalon, from a dark to a dark.
Here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people listen to songs, beautiful melodies, they sing them, they dance to them, and they get a world of pleasure out of them. And they often wonder about the man behind the song, the composer. So we've had a great many requests to bring a songwriter to Shel Chapeau. And tonight we'll have a man that to me, well, he's just great. His name, Sam Carlow, a man who has written hundreds of hits. And it might interest you, ladies and gentlemen, to know that in show business, an artist is invariably remembered for the latest thing he's done. And this includes songwriters, too. If the latest thing a fellow has done is bad, everyone says he's slipping. If the latest thing he's done is good, everybody says he's great. And Sam Carlow, as far as writing great songs, is really great. His latest song is In the Middle of a Tear. You all know that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to present him tonight at the piano, Sam Carlow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make just one thing clear. I want to understand right here. I positively will not sing a medley. Like all composers you have heard, I give you all my solemn word. I positively will not sing a medley. A medley for become passe, and as a matter of fact, wouldn't it be a silly way to start a high-class act if I sang for a lovely love? I found in your embrace. I'm thankful though I know it's coming all too soon. Or was it a dream? Was it a dream? We were all alone, and you were in my arms. But as I told you all before, memory is a lasting fall. I positively will not sing a memory. Some writers love to come out and play, not me. You'll never hear me fall on my way. It came from there. I got here now, like an audience for me. Or something like, "Turn me on, or you can drop it. Like that harmony, up to heaven and sing infinity. Now to put me over your hand, do I have to remind you that you won't be sad? Just one more chance.
you know how two ships here just kind of take it on us. Well, last night I took them to a rodeo, and they said about a cook out of it. But when it was over, I said, all right, you fish, now I'll take you home. Where do you live? Well, it turned out that Jack lived right here, and I took him home first. Then I did take you home.
Well, she lived about 3 miles away.
Well, so this morning, when I got to the chateau, Jack gave me a dirty look and wouldn't even speak to me. So I said to him, what's the matter? He said, what's the idea of taking my girl home? And I said to him, God, Jack, I thought I was doing you a favor. It would have taken you hours to get her home. Jack said, well, what do I care if I walk 4 or 5 miles? By the time I got her home, at least she would have kissed me goodnight. Say, when a guy walks 4 miles for a kiss, brother, that's love. So you know they're going to mean it when they sing this very beautiful love song. I'm falling in love with someone, Jack Canton and Maggie Gardner. Tell you how many times people have said to me, well, there's one man I wish you'd invite to South Dakota sometime, and that's Irvin Cobb. I doubt if there's another American author whose name is better known in this country, and for that matter, all over the world, than Irvin Cobb, of Paducah, Kentucky, sir. I'm proud to see you, sir. I've known him for 15 years, sir, and I'm sure delighted to have him here in South Dakota tonight, sir, on our own all-new first program, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man who tells the story better than anyone else in the world, and also makes the world's finest in Judith, sir, Mr. Irvin Cobb, sir.
Thank you, Al. I take it this is an occasion. You're too modest for something. to bring the subject up yourself, but I'm told this is the 10th anniversary of the making of the first great sound picture, The Jazz Singer, in which Al goes to star. Al, those who are applauding didn't see you in that show. Until then, we'd only had two standard forms of theatrical expression, the legitimate play and the movie. In other words, the spoken drama and the unspeakable kind. And you branched out as an amateur. A pioneer. Well, the American people, I'm proud to say, are great hands to hold a grudge. Well, I predict they'll remember that Al Jolson worked in the Jazz Singer long after they forgot even the name of the fellow that killed McKinley. I thought I'd start off tonight with a few words about our glorious California for the benefit of the tourist trade. You know, I'm practically a native son now. I've been here nearly a year, and I've even started boosting the climate. This is the only country in the world where people stand out in the open air and give 3 cheers for the climate. They even have climatic cheerleaders. Unless you find the 10,000 of them getting together at an hour picnic and passing a unanimous resolution endorsing sunset. I have to admit, I was really shaking in my face last winter. It seemed to rain at times. At least we had heavy mist to drown people. I was almost ready to believe that these low-timers called our state sunny California for the same reason that naturalists call the studded hyena the laughing hyena. Not because he laughs so often, but because he laughs so seldom. But it's cleared up since then, and we are now calling attention to our sunlit golden float. I was down at the beach this afternoon. You wouldn't believe an ocean as roomy as that one could be so crowded. Well, when I got there, you fell in standing room, and you had to wait till somebody drowned before you could find the wave. It wasn't being used. Somebody, some accommodating soul finally did drown, thereby creating a vacancy. And I jumped in and swam out and turned over on my back and floated. That wasn't successful. Near-sighted swimmer kept thinking I was a life raft. And came and anchored alongside. So I paddled ashore and stretched in the sand and took a sun bath. And that was an error, too, but I'm now so well done that all I need before being served is for somebody to stick a piece of parsley behind one ear and put a little apple in my mouth and maybe fix my grater with a little brown flour. If I had my shirt off, and I wish I did, you'd think I was wearing a necklace, a hot water bottle. And you can right now, you can take a little up on my skin almost anywhere, and I feel for you like a banana. And you'll note my face is just a trifle sunburned, not to say reddish. As a matter of fact, I had to ride backwards coming up from the shore to this studio. About to turn around, I tied up traffic because every fellow was a stop signal. I was going to say something also about the products that are surreptitiously and silently advertised here. But I'm told these CRL people are paying me, and I might add they pay me by the piece or job and not by the word, because if it were, I'd learn to stutter. I'm told they know about them as well. See, and I guess we can depend on an all-powerful giant who shifts the clandestine word into these proceedings from time to time to handle that little detail, which seriously enough makes me think of the little story about the reckless mountain lion. Al, if you heard this one, stop me. Just try to stop me. Down in my country, a stranger in a great state of excitement rode up to a hillbilly who was flying in the field and said, "Say, who is in that cabin yonder?" And the gentleman says, "I do, for one." So he says, "Is anybody in there now?" He says, "Yep, the old woman's in there sitting breakfast." He says, "My heavens," the stranger yelled. He said, there's a full-grown mountain lion just jumped in the kitchen window. Is that so?
But, Martin, but get guns, man. Aren't you going to do something about it?
Who, me?
No,
sir. Got that man around to help take care of his chair.
Excuse me, Adam, for butting in, but I was kind of hoping you'd be reminded by the life amount of a certain other story by now.
Don't worry. Something's always reminding me of a story, and if it doesn't, I remind myself. You haven't interrupted. I was going to put in a few general words to the traveling public about the Great West General. The tourists coming this way this summer, I wanted to mention certain magnificent scenic wonders to be seen en route, including such vast, yawning natural chasms as the Grand Canyon and Huron and I want to mention our old big trees of California, which are the oldest living things on this earth except some of the wheezes you've heard pulled on this program. And still, if you're available for punishment, what's your favorite direction, Mr. Jones?
Well, why not the one about the colored creature down in Alabama?
You must have heard me tell up earlier on.
No, but my grandpa did.
Ouch! Well, we'll all shake the mask out of it.
Thank you, Mr. Irvingdale. Your job, thank you. Go right ahead, sir.
I can guarantee it's southern flavor. I claim this story is as southern as tobacco juice on a southern politician quite fast. It seemed it was a colored man who served a term for horse stealing up in West Virginia. And after he got out, he changed his name and his calling because horse stealing didn't seem to pay as well anymore. And he drifted further south and he struck a colored church at the Shire Pastor. And he preached a trial sermon and qualified and was elected to fill the vacancy on the spot. And for about a year, things went along just beautifully. The fire was regular and generous. Armed parties were frequent, and the sisters of the flock were homely and very sociable. But one Sabbath morning, when he entered the pulpit and glanced about him, he saw sitting in the front pew, looking up at him with a malignant, significant expression on his face, the little black man that had been his cellmate up at Mansfield. And something seemed to tell the Reverend that dark stranger was there for no good purpose. He just had last name, Blackmiller, written all over. And for just a moment, the parson hesitated. And then out of the skies came inspiration, and he said, in the sing-song sea dances of the southern evangelist, colored evangelist, said, "Bring in sister, I will move this morning to speak to you from the parable of the prodigal son, which is part of the story in the scripture, and he wanted to pull from his daddy's house and leave roof and run around the wall and lay down with it home. But in due time returneth, says daddy's home, while ceaseth braiding his arm. But since I entered this house of the Lord this morning, I have changed my mind. Dear of beloved, I shall address you today from Ezekiel 12, 10, 14. The 12th chapter and the 14th verse, which it reads to with namely is followed. If when thou lookest upon me and seem like my countenance is familiar to you, if when thou hear the sound of my voice uplifted and seem like it got a similar ring in your ears, very often to you, say nothing to nobody, and I will see you later.
Now, all the women of the cast didn't listen in last week. I told that story. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's a little song I introduced in South Dakota just a few weeks ago. It seems to have met with your approval because the South Dakota senators have just been calling in. So now I'm going to sing it to you again. Send it to him, this little song, to my little five-month-old boy who's turned up everything in the house. The title is, "You Little Mischief Maker." All right, good girl.
What am I going to do? Darling, have mercy on a please be kind, for the trouble with me is you, just you. You little mischief maker, you little sweetheart breaker, I could be your bad taker. You little mischief maker, I'm just a devil, you pop if you could. You're in a trouble, and I'll find no good. You little candelizer, with it as your advisor, I wish that you would let up. You're getting me all head up. You have to finish whatever you start. I'm making mischief in my heart.
We're back in Shell's Hotel. The show is going on. Right now, Dixie Young is going to play. But before we hear his music, I want you folks to know that Dixie has become very popular here in Hollywood. Only yesterday, when he came to Shell's Hotel, a party of 75 stepped up to greet him. It was his grandfather, born in 1860. Anyway, I know you like this melody of Jerome Kern. The title is The Song Is You, from Music in the Air. And if Jerome Kern is listening in, I know he'll be crazy about Victor's arrangement of the song. All right, Victor, and I hope Jerome is listening.
Thank you. at the Coconut Grove, one of the night spots in Hollywood, where the picture stars love to dance. A new entertainer made her debut in the floor show. Well, sir, the next day everybody was talking about this charming young singer. And a lot of people said to me, "Al, you've got to get this girl. Her name is Alice Dawn, and you must bring her here to show the show." Well, I asked her if she'd come, and she's here tonight. She's pretty, she's smart, and I know that you love her singing. Miss Alice Dawn.
Now it seems someone asked Alice for the pleasure of the next dance. And here's her answer.
Gentlemen, you all know that there are lots of actors and actresses that never get a chance to show that they really have great talent. Some of the amateur programs on the radio now are helping to discover this hidden talent. But it's really very hard for dramatic actors and actresses to get any real experience. And so we're very glad to give them a chance here in Shell Chateau. Tonight, we are presenting a young lady whose work in pictures has so far consisted, well, just little small bits. But we believe that she has a real future as an actress. We are very happy to present her tonight in a scene from Maxwell Anderson's famous play, Elizabeth the Queen, who Mr. Irving Fisher has lost Patrick. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I know you're kind and fair. This little lady is nervous, naturally. And I want you to give her a real hand. Miss Margaret Brayton. Oh, that's swell. It's meat and drink to these little women. The scene is the court of Elizabeth, England's most famous queen. Elizabeth is not as young as she was, and she's now facing the greatest tragedy of her career. Because she has condemned to death the man she loved, Lord Essex. Essex has loved Elizabeth, but he's as hard and ambitious as she is herself. And he has attempted to seize the throne of England. For this treason, she has been in prison, and now awaits the Hatsman's Act in the Tower of London. But Elizabeth is still willing to forgive Essex if he will ask forgiveness. She is only to send her the ring she once gave to him, and she will relent. But her lover is to die at 6 a.m. Elizabeth has waited all night for the execution, for the so-called in attendance. It is now almost 6, and the ring has not come. Elizabeth, the most powerful monarch in Europe, is at the breaking point when Lord Preston arrives from the tower.
Lord Essex is prepared for execution. The priest has been sent to him.
Be here, I say, and now, at once. Go out to me, all of you. All save Penelope. But quickly, quickly, all. Look here in my face, Penelope. She's toe-toe. And I'm old. I'm old. It comes in my eyes. Dear, you're so young. Do not be there when he comes. Do you mind? You look so young.
Yes, madam. But you... you're beautiful.
Beautiful still? Oh, but I was once. I was. Do not believe it now.
Oh, yes. You're always beautiful. You've always been.
Thank you, my dear. Go now. He'll come.
He's here. I'll go.
You sent for me, or so they said.
Yes.
It would have been kinder to leave me with my thoughts, for the axe came down and ended them. You spoil me for death.
Are you so set on time?
I can't say I care for it. This blood that beats in us has a way of wanting to keep right on. But if one is to die, it's well to go straight toward it.
You must have known I never meant you to die.
I am under sentence from Your Majesty's court. There is no appeal that I know of. I am found guilty of treason on good evidence and cannot deny it. This treason, I believe, is punishable with death.
God knows I'm proud and bitter, too. If it's true, it must cause what I have sent for you. I have taken the first step that way. Oh, do not make me take the neck.
The neck is to the scaffold. It's only a step now, and I've made ready.
You are bitter, too. We have let it go too late. We both waited for the other. But it was I who took first. Will you make me feel the first how much I've longed for you? Oh, it's hard for me.
My dear, you can tell me so gracefully, for you have nothing to gain or lose by me. But I have life and love to gain, and I find it less than fitting to speak like a lover, lest you suppose I do it to save my head.
It's true that you never loved me, isn't it? You were ambitious, and I loved you, and it was the nearest way to power, and you took the nearest way. Oh, no, no, one moment. This is an hour of truth, if it's ever true. I'm older than you. But a queen. Oh, it was natural you sat and you speak me fair, and I believed you. I'm sorry I believed you. Sorry for you more than for me.
Yes, that's true enough. Now may I go? This dying sticks in my mind and makes me poor company, I fear.
It was true. It was true, then.
If you wish to make me tell you what you well know, how much I used to love you, how much I have longed for you, very well, I will say. That's a small victory to win over me now. But take it with the rest.
You did love me?
Yes.
And love me still?
Yes, you should know that, I think.
You kept my ring. You never kept my ring. Oh, I've been waiting for it.
You may have it back if you have used for it. I have thought to wear it as far as my grave. But take it.
Oh, I'd have forgiven all that had passed at any hour, day or night, since I last saw you. I've waited late at night thinking. Tonight the ring will come. You will never hold out against me so long. But the night went by somehow like the days, and it never came. Till the last day came, and here is the last morning of time beating out the hours.
Yes, I've known. But I could not have sent it.
Why?
If I tried to hold you to a promise you could not keep, and you had refused me, I should have died much more unhappy than I am now.
I'd have kept my promise. I keep it now.
If I offered you this ring...
Yes, even now.
You would pardon me, set me free, cede back my estate to me, love me as before, give me my place in the state...
All as it was.
And what would happen to your throne?
My throne?
Nothing. Yes, for I take it from you.
Again? You play that game again?
The games one plays are not the games one chooses always. I am still a popular idol of a sort. There are mutterings over my imprisonment even as it is. And if you should set me free and confess your weakness by overlooking treason and setting me up in power once more, the storm that broke last time would mean nothing to the storm that would break over you then. As for myself, I played for power and loss. But if I had another chance, I think I'd play and win.
Why do you say it?
I say it because it's true. I have loved you. Love you now. But I know myself. If I were to win you over and take my place as it used to be, it would gall me. I have a weakness for being first, wherever I am. I refuse to take pardon from you without warning you of this. And when you know it, pardon becomes impossible.
You do this for me?
Why, yes, but not altogether. Partly for England, too. I've lost conceit of myself a little. A life in prison is very quiet. It leads to thinking. You govern England better than I should. I'd lead her into wars. Make a great name, perhaps, like Henry V, and leave a legacy of debts and bloodshed after me. You will leave happiness, something secure, a woman governed better than a man, being a natural coward, a coward rules best.
Still bitter?
Perhaps a little. It's a bitter belief to swallow, but I believe it. You were right all the time. And now, if you'll pardon me, I have an appointment nearby with a headsman. He comes sharp on the hour.
Oh, have an hour. It's but struck five.
It's struck five sometimes.
Oh, it cannot go this way.
Aye, but it has. It has and will. There's no way out. I thought of it every way. Speak frankly. Could you forgive me and keep your throne?
No.
Are you ready to give up your crown to me?
No, it's all I have. Who am I to stand here poking at a rebel noble? I am Elizabeth, daughter of a king, the Queen of England, and you are my subject. What does this mean, you standing here eye to eye with me, your niece? You, whom I made and gave all that you have. You, an upstart, defying me to grant pardon, that you should seek me from power and take my place from me. I feel the Savior's blood ran singing from the heavens for a time that I should hold my hand and die for this. You, pretender to a throne upon which you have no claim. You, pretender to a heart who have been hollow and heartless and faithless to the end.
If we met some other how, we might have been happy. But there's been an empire between us. I am to die. Let us say that. Let us begin with that. For then I can tell you that if there'd been no empire, we could have been great lovers. If even now you were not queen and I were not pretender, that God who searches heaven and earth and hell for two who are perfect lovers could end his search with you and me. Remember, I am to die. Begin with that. I can tell you truly, out of all the earth that I'm to leave, there's nothing I'm very loath to leave save you. Yet if I live, I'll be your death, or you'll be mine.
did it.
No.
Give me the ring. I'd rather you kill me than I killed you.
It's better for me as it is than that I should live and fasten my fame and fortune on the woman I love. I thought of it all. It's better to die young and unblemished than to live long and rule not well.
I should know that.
Is it not?
Yes.
Goodbye, then.
Oh, then, I'm old. I'm old. I could be young with you. But now I'm old. I know now how it will be without me. The sun will be empty. And settle on an empty earth. And I will be queen of emptiness and death. Oh, why could you not have loved me enough? Give me your love and let me keep as I was.
I know not. I only know I could not. I must go.
Yes. Go! Look! Take my kingdom. It is yours.
Goodbye, my dear.
No, she loves you. Go to her.
Goodbye.
Run to her. She waits you still. If you dare, she waits you still. Oh, dear queen, would you let him go? He came to the ship. Send after him. Now, indeed, am I queen of emptiness and death.
Dead. I'm going to sing you a little song, ladies and gentlemen. It's a brand new song. A chap gave it to me last week up at San Bernardino, up at the spring. And it's a request number because he requests me to sing it. The poor fellow, he said if it goes over, he may make a few dollars and keep him from relief. It celebrates the courage and spirit of the pioneers who opened up the West. And the song is called Covered Wagon Days, if you please, Victor. Oh, sing a song of the pioneers and the days of 49. For I don't belong to those bygone years. How I wish that they were mine. There's no place like the prairie, no other place on earth that gives me such pride, makes me satisfied, like the place that gave me birth. I'll ride along, sing my song of those covered wagon days. These weary miles, years was well for those covered wagon days.
I could sing Susanna with a banjo on my knee in the same old manner that my pappy sang to me. Let me roam through my home. Get along, little doggy, get along, little doggy, get along, little
get along. Get along, little doggy, get along, little doggy, get along, little doggy, get along. Let me roam.
Many fine letters we're receiving from listeners of this program. This letter is from a baker in New York City. He writes, I listen to your L. Jolson program almost every Saturday night and think it is swell. I have three delivery trucks. Making deliveries, of course, we do stop and go driving all the time. We use your super shell and we find you're right. This gasoline certainly does save on short trips around town.
If you're not using super shell yet, buy a tank full of this new type of gasoline very soon. When you get Super Shell, notice how much longer it lasts. That's because Super Shell is especially suited to the stop-and-go driving you're doing 80% of the time. You cut down the amount of gasoline you're apt to waste. You can save as much as a whole cupful of gasoline in starting and warming up the motor a single time, and up to another cupful on 10 minutes of rapid accelerating. You can get Super Shell everywhere from coast to coast at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations. Get some tomorrow and begin to get the saving this balanced gasoline can give you.
I hope you enjoy your back here in Shell today.